Now, we've been hearing about mass extinctions, and Paul was just telling us about the Permian mass extinction, which was the biggest extinction event of all time when nearly all life died out. That was 250 million years ago. But could history repeat itself? Well, Mike Benton is a paleontologist from the University of Bristol. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
First of all, can we just look at one aspect which is an intriguing component of these die-offs, which is that every time we've had a mass extinction, the answer is that nearly all life disappears, but not all life. There's always something left. And what is it about the life that's left that means it doesn't disappear?
Well, of course, after an extinction event, the survivors, as Paul said, may be in some cases specially adapted to living in conditions of poor oxygen or high temperatures. In other cases, they're just lucky. And then it depends on what the physical conditions on the Earth are in the time after the extinction event. Often people have assumed that you have the stress, you know, the impact of the meteorite, which did for the dinosaurs, or the massive volcanic eruptions and all of the consequences of that. And then the Earth kind of settles down rather quickly. Well, what we now know is, in some cases at least, after this big end Permian mass extinction that Paul was talking about, the Earth did not settle down. And for 5 million years, there were a number of repeated and rather similar crises. So as life picked up and got going again, certain groups started to speciate. Wham, you know, they were hit again and set back. So it took about 10 million years in that case.
It really was survival of the fittest. What would have been the transition or the sorts of life that emerged as successors to what was wiped out during that Permian mass extinction?
In the early part, there were what we call sometimes disaster species. These are the ones that can take advantage of the rather stressful conditions in the immediate aftermath, as Paul was saying, species that can survive in conditions of high temperature or low oxygen. But then as the Earth settled down and sort of returned to equilibrium in some way, then you get the founders of the major new groups. And so we can now look back at that terrible extinction 252 million years ago and think, well, it actually punctuated the history of life and reset evolution by wiping out all of the previously dominant groups. So we can be glad, you know, we're here, the dinosaurs came after that, various other groups were highly successful. But it did take a long time to recover.
I was going to say, is it actually this that helped to lay the groundwork for us coming along? Because I know that obviously mammals didn't really begin to dominate until after the dinosaurs had exited, but they had to come from somewhere. And were the ground rules sort of set out then with this mass extinction, enabling mammals to begin to appear?
It seems that may be the case because, as Paul said, there were a whole lot of different reptiles and so on at the end of the Permian, which were quite sprawling, awkward creatures, not very fast moving. After they had been wiped out, there was quite a change in pace in the following period of time called the Triassic. And the ancestors of mammals and indeed the ancestors of dinosaurs and various other groups got going. And they were no longer sprawling animals with the arms and legs out to the side. They kind of stood upright, as mammals do, birds do, and could move faster and adapt to other things, ultimately, including flight and various other modes of life.
So we effectively selected for animals that were much fitter, reproductively fitter, they were more adaptable, and if it hadn't been for these mass extinction events, then we wouldn't have species that are so resilient today, perhaps.
That might be. I think certainly there were stresses there. It'd be very wrong to think that there was a kind of inevitability or a kind of enhancement in a sort of mystical way. But in terms of evolution, the pace on land at least seemed to hot up. And maybe in the sea, because I think there were major steps in evolution of life in the sea. Faster moving fishes, which were the ancestors of the modern fishes that are very familiar to us in the oceans, from cod to sturgeon and all those types, they track back to then, and they were preyed upon by giant marine reptiles, which David Norman mentioned earlier. So there was a sort of pacing up all the way through.
One thing that's always baffled me is if you look at a crocodile, you've got there something which pretty much is reminiscent of what dinosaurs would have been sort of like, haven't you? They survived because the ancestors of crocodiles go back hundreds of millions of years. They weren't wiped out. So why did they persist? But these other stresses that did for the dinosaurs and things that came before them, why did crocodiles make it?
very hard to say in any particular case, because, you know, whatever I say is untestable, so one has to be careful. Crocodiles and their ancestors have always been probably relatively low metabolic rate creatures, cold-blooded, we would say. There aren't very many species of them today. They were much more successful during the age of the dinosaurs. There were even bipedal two-legged crocodiles. There were even plant-eating crocodiles. So they were more adaptable then, it seems, than they are today. Whether it was something to do with that low metabolic rate, because we know pretty well that dinosaurs, in one way or another, were warm-blooded, a bit like birds, a bit like mammals today. Whether that meant that they needed larger food supplies, that's certainly something you would expect. Many of the dinosaurs, of course, were just positively huge. And being huge is not a great thing when the Earth is undergoing stress.
Because, of course, getting rid of that heat becomes a problem, doesn't it? Lastly, Mike, can you just tell us whether or not we might see history repeating itself? Do you think that there are other things coming now that means that it was the dinosaurs 60 million years ago? Next is humans.
I don't think we can specifically say that because the Earth has changed, and so responses to different kinds of environmental stresses may be different. But there's no question, as we heard earlier, that humans are now driving an extinction at quite a fast rate, and maybe 100 times the rate that it ought to be. Because extinction is normal, as I think you said before, species don't exist forever. But currently the rate of extinction is at least 100 times what it ought to be.
Well, I might have to take out a bigger insurance premium then. That's assuming the insurance company doesn't go down in the mass extinction too. Thank you very much, Mike Benton from Bristol. And thank you to our earlier contributors this week, Paul Wignall, Dave Norman and Gavin Prideaux.